Hello and welcome to today's podcast. My name is Michael Levins and I'm Group Editorial Director for Peerless Media, which of course includes Supply Chain Management Review Magazine. And I'll be your moderator for today's discussion. It's going to offer some all-important first steps to a more sustainable supply chain. Now, today I'm joined by Caleb Nelson, and Caleb is Chief Growth Officer at Sifted. And Sifted is a data-powered logistics platform and is one of the original co-founders of the company. Caleb oversees the growth of the company's new marketplace intelligent platform that leads product enhancement efforts for their core business. And Caleb, welcome today. I'm looking forward to our conversation. I'm happy to say that sustainability is a concept that has, you know, really re-entered the supply chain conversation. It's a concept that will continue to have an impact on organizations far into the future as the transportation sector continues to be the largest U.S. contributor to greenhouse gases. And the projections, of course, for e-commerce last mile deliveries are only shooting to the stars, and there's no let up in sight. And I think we're all well aware of that. And with this growth, customer expectations, regulatory demands, and environmental changes are increasing the pressure for organizations to finally take some meaningful action. Now, in a lot of cases, with no clear path forward, many leaders are still unsure how best to take action. Well, today, we're going to suggest that sustainable supply chain practices are no longer a nice to have. They are now a must-have, and there are real opportunities for shippers to make these changes that will have lasting impact. And, you know, what's that first step? Well, it's simply to start. And keep in mind that some change is better than none at all. In fact, we're going to aim to break down why sustainability matters and offer the biggest and some of the easier opportunities for shippers to get rolling on a more sustainable supply chain operation. So Caleb, let's get right to it. And you know, last 2 years have been quite a ride. You know, now, so from your unique perspective, Caleb, you know, how would you define the environment or this new reality that's now facing supply chain professionals?
Challenging, right, to sum it up in one word. And anybody who works in the space is familiar with that. I think the last 2 years I've seen more change happen than in the last 20 mm-hmm. in transportation. And it predominantly comes down to the effects of what COVID has put on the stress for specific e-commerce mm-hmm. Growth that's happened. And the carriers are facing two main dilemmas that shippers are having to do cleanup work on. Yep. The first of which is carrier labor shortages. Mm-hmm. Carriers are really struggling to find employees to be able to manage the sheer amount of freight that is going through their networks right. on a regular basis. And the second is increase freight. Yeah. They are swimming in freight.
Right.
And those are two really difficult drivers that for FedEx and UPS, which are efficiency organizations,
yep.
That thrive and their profitability is tied directly to efficiency, put a very big strain back onto the shippers,
right?
When they are not being, when FedEx or UPS are not being as efficient as they should be.
Absolutely.
So shippers have been really in a spot of kind of a reactionary standpoint mm-hmm. of let's just get shipments out the door. And then dealing with a significant amount of changes that FedEx and UPS have put on them puts them in a spot of just constantly reacting.
Right. Absolutely. So that labor and those crazy increased volumes are obviously those two big, big challenges. Now, let's just boil it down to some of the more unique challenges this new environment has created for supply chain professionals who are pushing sustainability efforts inside their organizations. Caleb, you know, how is this environment sort of affecting those folks who are maybe at the forefront of their sustainability efforts?
I think for the first time in a long time, it's brought transportation to the C-level.
Yep, right.
So CEOs, COOs, CFOs are now keenly aware of what their transportation impact has been mm-hmm. to their organization, where before it used to be a black box. They'd yep. kind of throw out in the corner and be like, we don't really understand it. Just keep costs in line and keep those shipments going out the door. this has shined a, not just a light, but a big old spotlight mm-hmm. on transportation and the impact that sustainability has on an organization and how they can be more sustainable from a transportation standpoint. Right. And that inclusion of the C-level suite has put a lot more pressure on businesses to be more sustainable mm-hmm. and to find a way to offset their carbon footprint, as well as I think a competitive advantage in a marketplace where they might be more competitive with other like businesses and a differentiator that might be there.
And that's a great point. You know, finding those key differentiating areas is absolutely, you know, just vital right now, not just for shippers, but also for the carriers and the 3PLs and everybody who's supplying all these services. So let's get a little more specific there, Caleb. You know, in the sustainability discussion, of course, as we mentioned, or I mentioned at the top, you know, it's top of mind. You know, it we felt like it went away for a little while now. It's kind of top of mind for all those reasons you had just brought up. So why does it matter now more than ever, right? Why is sustainability, you know, just the status quo is no longer acceptable? I think you had mentioned something like that, but why is that?
I think what is really interesting is with that spotlight from the C-level suite and a competitive advantage that being more of a sustainable organization has, it's driving demand from consumers mm-hmm. that's demanding it. They're demanding that level of safe practice from who they're buying product from and their vendors. And what's really interesting is we often think of being green or going green from a consumer standpoint as a luxury item. Mm-hmm. You think of like going green with a car. Okay, I'm going to buy a Tesla. Teslas are not cheap, and your break even on a Tesla is probably not going to be for another, you know, couple of decades.
Yep.
Same with throwing on solar panels on your roof. It is a massive out-of-pocket cost where you don't break even for another 15 years. Sustainability in transportation is one of those rare categories that creates a one for one in cost reduction.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Whatever you do on a sustainability effort in transportation has a direct impact mm-hmm. to your bottom line and to what your customers are really demanding, which is that you are a more accountable, more sustainable organization that has a long-term approach to what you're doing and how you do it.
Yeah. No, that's a great way to put it. I don't think I've heard it put so succinctly. That is well done, Caleb. No, and a lot of our folks who are listening right now say, yeah, man, I get it. I love it. I understand it. I'm feeling the pressure, right? The spotlight's on it. It can differentiate us. You just nailed that down. That was perfect. So let's talk a little bit about some of the steps, Caleb. Now, how do supply chain professionals maybe get more proactive in establishing their sustainability efforts? You know, what steps can they take to even just, you know, maybe those first steps to just get started? What can you offer us there?
Well, and I think you nailed it by what you said with the word proactive. Mm-hmm. The top of the show, we talked about the challenges that shippers are facing. They've been put in a reactive state.
Yeah.
The whole idea is to be a driver mm-hmm. in your business, to not be a reactor or a reactionary, but to be a driver. And taking on sustainability is a driving portion of how supply chain professionals can implement some serious change. Mm-hmm. Where that's found and how they implement that is all in the data.
Right.
The data is everything. Mm-hmm. And for a shipper to fully, truly understand what story their data is telling them, there's a couple of aspects that we look for in reducing your carbon footprint and being more sustainable. And that would be from a distribution side, mm-hmm. point A to point B, what are your top zones for FedEx and UPS? It's split out by zone.
Right.
If you're shipping zones 5, 6, 7, and 8, you are using fuel surcharge in a much greater way than you probably should or need to. Mm-hmm. And to ship more locally not only reduces the fuel and time in transit, it reduces your costs. So at the end of the day, yeah, it's more green, but it gets your clients faster and it's significantly cheaper.
Right.
The other component is in packaging. Understanding which boxes are causing for significant increased fees, that also applies to your fuel surcharge. Understanding, is there a capability that you have to look at each box, and is it better if we split it into two boxes, reduce the amount of material that's used, or is that SKU can fit in a smaller size box? What would that do to reduce your overall cost on a per piece item? One funny thing is I ordered a battery from Amazon, and I got, it's a generator battery, and it came in this absolutely massive box. The battery itself is probably 8 inches by 10 inches by 8 inches. It was a pretty small battery. And the box that it came in was unbelievably large. And we've all received boxes like that.
Of course.
To reduce it means that you're reducing the material, but it's also a direct one-for-one in terms of cost reduction as well.
Yep, absolutely. It's amazing how many shippers, especially on the parcel side, have kind of overlooked that dim weight surcharges. And we're still writing about it, logistics management, supply chain management review. We're still trying to bring it to light. And it's one of those things where it's a reaction, right? They're not proactively getting ready for what that means to their bottom line or to their budgets too, until they get those bills, right? So you mentioned data at the top of answer to that question. Caleb, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, the role technology plays in maintaining and managing these sustainability efforts and initiatives. You know, what is technology's role in getting to there, what you just defined for us?
Yeah, the shippers don't have a lot of options for looking at the data. So what they end up doing is spending an immense amount of time in Excel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Excel is a great tool, not to dog on Excel, but it is not a transportation tool. Mm-hmm. And you have to spend hours manipulating the transportation data in Excel just to get it to a spot where you can understand what the data is telling you. Mm-hmm. We call that being really trapped in Excel hell.
Yeah.
Let alone if I do change a box size, that kind of a what if parameter or modeling is a whole nother level of complexity to understanding it. There are, you can do it in Excel, you can, you know, visualize it in Power BI or Looker or a lot of these other BI platforms, but it takes an immense amount of work.
Mm-hmm. So we have a few minutes left. Caleb, let's share with me like your vision. You know, what does a sustainable supply chain operation look like and act like once these initiatives, this technology, and these best practices are put into place? Can you kind of give us a little example, maybe a theoretical case study of some of the benefits that operation might be realizing once they get there?
Absolutely. You know, we've got a number of clients that we do this for. This is what we do and why we exist, is to help companies optimize and to be a driver in their business, to be the best version that organization can be from their transportation side. That's what we help companies do. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of customers that come to us to say, I'm looking to provide two-day delivery to 98% of the United States in a ground setting. Mm-hmm. How do I do that? And looking at that actually has a sustainability impact piece of it, because that requires that you ship more locally within a zone 2, zone 3, zone 4 network to be able to reach those shipments within that 1 to 3, you know, magic day window, as well as being able to say cost reduction in box sizes will help me be able to not only reduce my average cost per pack, but reduce my overall waste, puts me in a spot where I can then be, if we tie it back to efficiency organizations that FedEx and UPS are, they're looking for more efficient customers. Because it fits their efficiency network better.
Absolutely.
And to me, that is what it's all about, is FedEx and UPS are in a tight spot right now. They're not overly, you know, taking advantage. And it puts pressure on shippers to be a better partner fit to their partner carrier. Mm-hmm. And if you can imagine what a more efficient distribution network, transportation network, box size optimization network looks like and how that can improve your relationship with FedEx and UPS to tie in for a long-term sustainable relationship. That's the kind of clients they're looking for. And those are the types of customers that they're willing to provide advantage discounts to.
Absolutely.
To keep happy.
Yeah, that term shipper of choice is used across, you know, the logistics and supply chain lingo, right? But that's, you know, you have to have that data, that information, that lean running to make that happen and to benefit from that. That's a great point, and that's a terrific way to kind of wrap things up, Caleb. In a minute or two here, as we do wrap things up, you know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners today are saying, "Hey, I've been on the fence for a while. I need to make some moves." You know, how do supply chain managers get started from here, Caleb?
Like I mentioned, there's a lot in Excel that supply chain managers are probably already doing and looking at, that a sustainability piece adds more complexity. If you feel like you're trapped in Excel hell, or you're looking for more options for real-time modeling, and to understand your sustainability improvement, that what could be done if you do make those changes, if I do pull those theoretical levers, shippers can always come to Sifted to take a look at that. We have pre-built models that are turnkey that allow for shippers to be able to break out of that Excel routine and to get more into that driver proactive, less reactionary state, so that they can take full control over their transportation platform.
Excellent. Outstanding. Well, we're up against the clock. Caleb Nelson, Chief Growth Officer at Sifted. I just want to thank you again for joining us. Great job. And I want to thank our friends at Sifted to making this session possible. Thank you. Thanks again, Caleb. Just a great job today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me on.